The gospel lesson for today comes from John's gospel. This is again part of the famous prologue, the introduction to that fourth gospel. Listen to God's words of comfort and hope this day. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. And yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The year 1809 was a year of both good news and difficult times for Ludwig von Beethoven. Beethoven had established himself as already one of the most gifted pianists and composers in Europe, and during that year he received word that the Archduke Rudolf and the imperial family of Austria had granted him a royal stipend, an annual stipend that would support him so that he no longer had to try and cobble together an existence giving lessons and concerts, but now he could devote all of his time to composing and also remain in his beloved city of Vienna. But 1809 was also a bad year in terms of the ongoing Napoleonic Wars between France and the Austrian Empire. For the second time in 4 years, the French army had invaded and surrounded Vienna, bombarding the city during the day and throwing life into disarray. During one of the bombing attacks, Beethoven hid in the coal cellar of his brother Karl, and he cowered in the basement with pillows pressed against his fragile ears. But it's also during that same year, 1809, that Beethoven composed his last, and in many ways, probably his greatest piano concerto. So during this season of war and darkness, I invite you to listen to the beauty of just the second movement of that piece. And then I would ask you to refrain from applause because we'll continue this conversation after it's concluded. The history of music and literature are full of examples of great works of beauty that emerged out of times of darkness and struggle. Mozart composed his Requiem while lying at times on his own deathbed. Van Gogh painted masterpieces while mostly living his life in an asylum in Saint-Rémy. Anne Frank writing her diary, though hiding from Nazis in an Amsterdam attic. The light from these works shines all the brighter for the darkness out of which they emerged. In our modern lives today, we have almost entirely lost the sense of darkness. Nightlights and switches and streetlights can chase away the evening darkness wherever we might be. We can hardly imagine anymore what it would be like to live in a dark village or in a dark city street or within the walls of a dark monastery or in a house back in the days before electricity. The closest I've come to being in total darkness was on a visit years ago to Carlsbad Caverns. When once you were down in the depths of the caves, they would turn off all the lights, and the darkness was absolute and in some ways palpable. But the fact is, losing a sense of darkness diminishes our ability to appreciate the power of light. It's against the backdrop of a world where darkness still ruled over half of every day that John's Gospel offers its famous words. In speaking of the birth in Christ, it says, "What has come into being in him was life, and that life was the light of all people. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Not only was this light for all people, but its power and authority, Jesus' power and authority, was such that no darkness could overcome it. And that's John's good news for us on this Christmas day. But we know, as did John's audience, that in every situation, there are times when light and shadows exist in the same place. A room illuminated with light will still have corners and places of darkness. You ask your child to go up to the attic or down to the basement, and no matter how many light switches there are available, you'll probably end up going with them because of the shadows and the darkness still lurking in the corners. What's true of places, physical places, is also true of our lives, our emotional settings. So how else do we capture this contrast between Mozart's deathbed and his Requiem, and Frank's youthful words and the shadow of German concentration camps, the bombing of Vienna and yet Beethoven in the coal cellar emerging with the music we just heard? Every person you meet can likely name for you that interplay of shadow and light in their own lives, the joys of family, yet loved ones struggles with disease. The blessings of home, yet the challenges of finance and of lost jobs. Of living in a nation that honors peace, yet so often engages in war. John's Gospel says the light shines in the darkness, but it goes on to honestly admit that the darkness of the world led many to reject Christ. As it says, he was in the world, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. Sometimes it's difficult to focus on the light itself, because light reveals things that we often want to keep in the shadows. To step into the light means to be seen and to see clearly at last. And that can be a hard step to take. To step in the light means admitting vulnerability, admitting our humanity, our fragility. Two quick stories. The boxer Muhammad Ali was on an airplane one day when the light came on telling everyone they had to fasten their seatbelts. Supposedly, Ali refused to buckle his, arguing with the flight attendant, and at some point he said, "Superman don't need no belts." To which she wisely replied, "Superman don't need no airplane either." And he obeyed the light and buckled up. Second, there was a couple from Minneapolis that was flying to Rome for a long-awaited tour. Rushing through customs and the car rental booth, they found themselves then entering onto the highways of Rome's Autostradia late at night. Fighting to stay awake in a rental car, the couple then suddenly noticed a flashing red light on the dashboard. And neither of them could tell what the light meant on the borrowed car. Were they low on fuel? Were they low on oil? Was the engine about to overheat? Working through every possibility, and in the dark, it seemed very ominous. They quickly pulled over to a rest stop. And then they found a gentleman who they could convince to come over and look at their car. And using sign language, they pointed to the persistent flashing light and shrugged their shoulders helplessly. And the man nodded to them and walked around to the back of the car and slammed the trunk lid shut. The light shining in the darkness went out. The couple went on their way down the highway at peace at last. The entire Christmas story is built around this interplay of light and shadows. The Annunciation to Mary comes when the angel's light literally breaks into her darkened room of prayer. The angel's visit to Joseph happens when he awakens from a dream during the night and resolves to take Mary as his wife. The journey to Bethlehem ends in a darkened stable. The shepherds left their campfires, moved through the shadows of Bethlehem streets to find this Messiah. And soon after Jesus' birth, the shadow of Herod's jealous anger moved over the land, leading to the massacre of innocent children and forcing the Holy Family to flee to Egypt. Our stories are built around light and darkness. And we may not wish it were so, but it's in times of the shadow's presence that we remember how critical the light really is. It's in the times of hardship that we gain perspective and comfort from the solace and the strength and the eternal hope given to us in the light of faith in Christ Jesus. And beautiful music can emerge out of times of struggle. Light does shine in places of darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. That's the promise of Christmas. In places of shadows, God's light is also near. Look for that light. Trust in that light of Christ. For as John said, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've seen His glory, His light, His power and love, a glory full of grace and of truth. And from His fullness we have all received light, life, grace upon grace." Friends, that's the promise of Christmas Day, the promise of our faith. In a world of shadows and sunrises, the sun, S-U-N and S-O-N, always has the final word. Thanks be to God. Amen.